Okay. Good morning. The advantage to having two of us do this is that even if one's not available, we can continue on. So Michal is home taking care of the ill, but we're going to try to move on. So we're in Perek Zayin, Pej Samach Beis, and what he's going to try to do now, and we've got to try to take it all in, is he's going to try to take everything that we've learned so far and to make it, as he put it, lemaisa, to see how we can try and internalize everything that he's taught us. We're using all of the yisodos, all of the foundational principles, and how to try and turn the corner and making this something very, very real. So he says like this. Until now, we dealt with the principles. Amatsura savoda binuya. What the building blocks for avodas Hashem. Atonaschil hartzos asadvar mitzura samamasis. Now we'll try to present them in a practical way. Adifa dain loli Hashem lasem is had very much skabel tumna kolos aval advarm yomru mitzura shalasiya. Says you're not necessarily going to be able to put them all into action immediately. But the way he's going to formulate them is in terms of, I guess we call it action principles. There's a Shulchan Aruch niftach b'halacha. What's the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch? Yiskaber ka'ari la'amud b'avokil avodas baro, to wake up roaring like a lion ready to do avodas Hashem. V'haramah posech es do'arev, and the Ramah who throws in commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, the first words that he writes on this is Shivisi Hashem negdi samid, keeping Hashem's presence in front of your eyes all the time. Is a fundamental rule, a big principle that the tzaddikim use who are walking in front of Hashem. So he says like this. The fact that the Ramah chose the first words that he's going to lay out for us in Shulchan Aruch is Shivisi, is knowing and feeling Hashem's presence. Lamanu nekuda yisodis ma'od. We see something very fundamental. Bad mevad im lumen haTorah, lumen halacha. Besides learning, and besides knowing halacha, knowing what to do, nidreshes me'od na'avod atmeinis lastigas hashivisi. We also have to figure out how to be able to feel Hashem's presence. Because again, if the Shulchan Aruch is a work that's telling us what to do, and now it's telling us shivisi Hashem l'negi somebody should be cognizant of the fact they're in the presence of Hashem, somehow we have to be able to do that. You don't do one and sacrifice the other. You need both. Learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, all of that has to connect with a knowledge and a feeling of the presence of Hashem. Because if not, otherwise, why did the Ramah start with that first? If this was only something that there are, you know, a few righteous individuals who could possibly attain such a level, that's not the way to start out a book that's supposed to be a life guide for every single Jew. So it must be that it's something which is attainable. And the next paragraph, Barar Adavar Efo, so it's clear, Shebahar Malomar Kan La'adam, that the Ramah is coming to teach, Shehamahalech Shalim Ralacha V'lim Ratua Bechalu Davki Makarish Baruch, that when we're learning and when we're acting, when we're doing mitzvahs, it has to be together with Hashem. Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samid. So what does that mean? If we look at the next paragraph, Kishem Shekesh Adam Rotza Lishtos Mayim, the same way before a person drinks water. Reishu Subodik Sheyesh Mayim. So first you have to see that there is water. V'rak Acharkach Ubodik Yimim Cham Karim. Then you want to figure out the details. Am I about to drink a hot cup of water or a cold cup of water? Again, we do these things by rote naturally, but if you think about it, that's the process of what's happening. Kim Ein Mayim Yif Shalib Dok Yimidas Chomam. If you don't have water, then you can't possibly figure out its temperature. Kach Banim Shasotu Ratzah Yabon Shalom Shlefnei Sh'ovdim Oso. Before we start doing the mitzvos, which is the drinking of the water, umagim la'avos avirasso, reishis kol tzarti adam ha'karab shute sheish ba'olam. First, we have to recognize his existence. And that is step one. Ha'avod ha'rishona, hisha adam agil madrega shebayachu shesar ribono shalom. Again, something which he's said numerous times, which again, I'm not sure that we can fully wrap our minds around yet, but at least we can accept as fact, and then hopefully move forward from that, is that we have to try and feel Hashem's presence. La'achar mikain, once we can do that, yizke gam abas Hashem, yiras Hashem, and dvekus b'yisparach, then it can be deepened in terms of a fear and a love. And a dvekus, and a clinging as well. Perusha she'adam kvar davuk be'akadosh baruch hu, that we are connecting to Hashem. So you skip to the bottom there. He says, eich osim zo, so how do you do it? Right, that's I guess the million-dollar question that we've been wondering all along. This is all very nice, and it makes a lot of sense, but how do we do it? So we will use the principles we had until now. How do we do them practically? So the first step is like this. Atzira l'hisbonenus minakudos pshutos is taking time to pause and to think about simple ideas. Adam tzarech lefanos la'atzmo sha'ah shketa l'hisbonenus. A person has to find a quiet time. I don't think he literally means an hour, but a quiet time when you can think. Sha'ah shebo ponay mikol tirdos olam, where there are no other distractions. V'yachol yos merukos ach v'rach b'machshosam, you can be alone with your thoughts. Now, what do you think about during this time? And again, we live, Baruch Hashem, busy lives. So certainly, maybe it won't be a significant amount of time. Let's say it's 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes where you can, leave the phone in a different room, go somewhere, and just sit in silence for 5 minutes and think. So what do you start thinking about? You say you start with the most basic questions. The same questions that Avram was wondering about when he was trying to discover Hashem. Hine ani nimtza kan v'olam, I am here. Eich higati l'kan. That's the most basic question. If somebody does not already have pre-knowledge of God, so if I am here, how did I get here? Ve'ena kavana, and again, just trying to clarify this. The intention is not shesholem zos mishum she'ena yodim as a tshuva al she'el. It's not because we don't know the answer. Pashut u'bar she'kulam aminim aminim. We are brought up with the answer. So we understand that there's Hashem. But the same way on the Seder night, we ask questions, but we know the answers already. And, at the end of the Seder, certainly there, nobody else is even answering the questions. And Chazal tell us, if nobody else at the Seder, we ask the questions and we answer them. So why do we do it that way? There's no son. Tishal ha'isha is ba'ilo, so a woman can ask her husband. V'imein shem alhu, and a person is doing it alone. Sho'el asatzo, a person asks him or herself. Ha'reilana, so what do you see? She'inyan etzias mitzayim u'pesach. That when it comes to leaving Egypt, when it comes to the Yom Tov of Pesach, shehu yisod ha'amuna, which really fundamentally is about faith in Hashem, the way to clarify and just make sure that it's clear to us, not because we have it as a question, but in terms of it somehow internalizing it, derech she'ilo tshuva, through question and answer, helps us zero in on with clarity on certain points. The way to do that is through questions. Lo mishum she'adam ein yodeh tshuva, not because we don't know the answer. When you ask a question and then are forced to answer it, then sometimes the ideas are clearer than if you just know that you have the information in your head. The same way, if you have to explain something to somebody else, if you don't understand, if you think you understand it but you can't explain it, Reb Chaim Brisker used to say that if you said in Yiddish, but if you can't explain something, then you don't understand it. Because if you understand something well enough, you have to be able to articulate it. So usually, when we think we understand something, and then we have I just can't. For teachers, this is certainly true. If they feel like they can't say it over well and can't get it out, usually it's because they're not, again, they don't have the information, but they haven't clarified it in their minds enough to be able to give it over. Asking and answering questions is a way, even if you know the answers, is clarifying it to yourself. So that you can then, because the same way you have to articulate it now to yourself, you can articulate it to somebody else. And if you can articulate it to somebody else, then that means that you have full clarity. And that gets to that clarity that we spoke about last time, that the neshama desires simple truths, wants clarity. So what do we start with when we have this time to think? Is questions that we already know the answer to. We have to be within a calm spirit in order to be able to go through the exercise of asking and answering. But if we're doing it, you know, while we're busy doing other things, well, you don't get the same clarity. Because you don't articulate it as well, the answer, and the sort of the question and the answer, as soon as you finish the question, okay, I know the answer, and you move on. But if you're doing it in a calm state, then you have the time to articulate what the answer is. It's a subtle and deep point. So he says, a person in quiet asks him or herself, am I here? So you think, okay, yes, Cain. That's an easy question, right? I am here. Ani mitzius, do I exist? Cain, right? Then, echigati lekan. So how did I get here? Mi samosi kan, who placed me in this world? Right, then if you look around the room, haim kiseh shulchan yechol mazuz me'atzmam, right, can this table or chair move by themselves? Haim ha'or nidlak levad, did the light go on by itself? Himayim zorim levad, does, you know, water run by itself? Right, all these things put us in the framework of realizing that nothing exists on its own. Nothing was pre-existing. So everything has to have been created. So, kach b'tchilu mevar hu la'atzmo b'tzura brura. So you have to first clarify b'tzura shel binyan in a way of slowly building up. Sheshum davar eino na'aseh levad. And the point that you're trying to internalize is that nothing came by itself. Then the question is, imkein zoekas ha'sheila v'omeda. So then the question is screaming out to you, eichan inim sakan. So how did I get here? How did I get here? If it must be that I didn't, I didn't put myself here, and I am here, so how did I get here? Right? Miho hevio silikon, who brought me here? V'yaseirazos, eich b'cha yeshem etzias kazos shenekreis ani, what does it mean that I am I? Okay, it's a little bit of a deeper question. Well, let's hold off on that for now. Tzarech l'kakas ha-sashay l'hazu, and if you take these questions, again, it seems strange asking questions to ourselves because it's not something that we normally do. But you're by yourself, so it's okay. Nobody will think you're crazy. Leos b'matzav sherogeya dako shtayim jiket. He's more lenient than me. A minute or two, but in a state of calm. In a state of calm. Lizbonin v'liro she'ela zu chamur mo. To realize this is a real question. V'haraya, how do we know that it's a real question and it's an important question? Shere harbi anashim adayin lo gilo tshuva mitis. There are so many people out there who don't have the right answers. People that go to, you know, theories of evolution and things naturally coming the way they are and other ways of justifying that we could be here and somehow denying that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you think of it, again, from an honest perspective, it's very hard to understand. Right? If nobody would think that this table could have gotten here by itself, why would we think that a human being with all of its complexities could possibly have gotten to this world by itself? But there are very intelligent people, who usually because of their gaiva, but not exclusively, come to alternative explanations. And it makes the questions and formulating and making sure that we have clarity on the answers, not because we have them as questions, but because it's important to be clear to ourselves, that much more important. The fact that we know the answer is because our, you know, Bubbies and Zadies and our parents have taught us the information, and you know that Hashem created you. That's great. But in the deeper, you know, recesses of our hearts, of our souls, it may not be as clear. We may not have spent the time clarifying it. Anachnu yodim es hadvarim, we know it. Ve'im nirim lanu kivur mo'od, and we think that it's clear. Avo b'imke halev adayin abirus hab ubihirus einan mushlamos. But it's not 100% clear. So how do we clarify it? Kadei shegam balev tiyeh behirus mechata shol dvarim. To get to the point where the clarity is going to be in our hearts and not just in our minds, so we have to go through the exercise of making sure that it's as if we came to it on our own. Because the things that we come to on our own, we have to have clarity, because you never would come to it on your own if it wasn't clear to you. Right? You would never on your own come to an Avram Avinu-esque type of understanding of Hashem if it's not clear to you, because why would you, you know, take that leap of faith? You have to have it as something which is clear. So we don't normally go through the process of thinking that way because we don't have to, because it's been given to us on a silver platter. But sometimes when it's been given to us and we don't spend the time thinking about it, then it doesn't penetrate the heart as much. And in order to make it something that we own, not just something that we know, requires that we have the ability to come to it on our own. So we start with the most basic ideas. Things that we really do know, but the actual clarity is not 100% there. So what happens? So you sit in a quiet place, just a minute or two, and so you have to say something that's clear, something that you know. So what's something that we all presumably can with 100% certainty say? There's nothing in this world that came about on its own. Nothing was, you know, self-generative from its you know, very creation. There's no animal, there's no being, there's no inanimate object that just came about of its own will. Of its own will. And you can think of it. Just like if there's a closet in this room, presumably he's talking about an Israeli closet, right, which stands separate. So it's even more obvious. It's standing, you know, not just a cutout of the room, but, you know, a closet that's standing there. And somebody must have made the raw materials. Because the fact that the Aron was made, that's obvious. But even the raw materials, where did those come from? Those also had to have been made. Right? It's the next step. Somebody must have made this closet. And somebody had to bring it here. It didn't just show up in my room, in my apartment. So if we understand that we are also things that have been created, so why would we think that our being created is any different? If a table, if a chair, if a closet has to, and we can't understand it differently, has to have been created by something that came before it, so must be the same thing with human beings. There has to have been someone, again, something, whatever you want to, you know, refer to God. There had to be something which brought our being about. We didn't come about on our own. So Zoe Nikuda Muskal Rishon. So this is the first thought. Hamatzias Shali. My existence, Eina Matzias Kaduma. I don't pre-exist the creation. He Matzias Shel Nivra. I am a creation. I'm not a creator. I am a creation. And if I am by definition, something which has been created has a creator. Right? By definition, if I was made, or something was made, somebody, or there had to have been something that brought it into existence. So then the next question is, so who was that creator? If I know that I had to have been created, and if I am a creation, there must be a creator. Then now the question is, okay, the next step in terms of just clarity, again, these are simple points, but in terms of clarity, the next point is then, so who was that creator? So he writes, and this was the question that Avram Avinu was walking around with for a long time. Because he understood that the same way everything, you know, the idols and everything else that he saw around him and the homes, all of it were buildings and things that were made, and each of them had to have been made by somebody, so why would human beings be any different? Of course I'm created. But then he's wandering around saying, okay, so where is this creator? Who brought me into existence? It's not that we have any doubt that there is an all-powerful God. We don't have to overly, you know, philosophize about this because we do know it already. For that type of philosophy, that is not something that every person is capable of. But the basic idea that there is a creator of the world, that's something that we need to clarify for ourselves, not once, not tens of times, not hundreds of times, but thousands of times. Lachzor aleha shuv v'shuv v'lo loritz l'skadim yad v'hala. Not to assume, okay, I got it. I know that I was created. I know there was a creator. I'm ready for the next step. It says that's not how you internalize something. Internalizing something requires repeating it. Because when you repeat it, each time it gets in a little bit deeper. So again, just as a little bit further, again, it's a similar point, then we'll just make sure that it's clear. Yikachlo Adam Nakuda Pshuta Zovi Dabar Alasma. So a person should, again, and he's talking literally, a person should take this simple point, go to a quiet place in a moment of without distractions, and talk to him or herself. Does it make any sense that I was created on my own? Does it make any sense that yesterday, meaning the day before my creation, I didn't exist, and suddenly, out of nowhere, I came into being? Again, most people, even the ones that think that the world revolves around them, don't really believe that the world started on their birthday. The important things in the world started on their birthday, but they understand that they were building. There were other things that came before them. So, does it make any sense that the day before my existence, I didn't exist, and suddenly, out of nowhere, it just poof, I came to this world? V'mayisi mi samosi v'hai alma. And if I am being placed here now, so who put me here? And if Adam lokech es ha'shelos salol v'chozer lehem pam v'od pam u'medaber la'atzma v'omer. If a person thinks about these questions again and again, and says, ani batuach b'zeh u'lo batuach, am I confident about this, or am I not 100% sure? Ha'im she'tzel sapik, do I have any even shadow of a doubt, sh'akol na'aseh me'elav, that things were created on their own? So he says, to those, again, simple ideas that we assume that we already have, mastered, kach tzorech adam laharech ledaber im atzmo yom yomayim v'meshach kama chadashim l'fachos. It takes at least several months of thinking about this in order to make sure that it's internalized. Several months. Ad she'yegia la'agoras ha'nekuda ha'pshuta b'tachlis, until it's 100% clear. I am confident, not just in my mind, not just in my knowledge, but I can feel that there is a Ribono Shalom, there's a creator of the world. If there are creations in this world, there has to be a creator. So again, it sounds a little strange. It's not something that most of us probably do. It's not as, for lack of a better term, I'll call it extreme, as meditation for hours on end, or half an hour in the forest or something like that. But he claims it works. He claims it works. There are many people who have learned the Svarim and claim that it works also, as uncomfortable as it was at the beginning. Again, to find a time, and again, he'll mention it again shortly, I think, that if you can be done even several times a day, if you take a moment to pause, even just for a few seconds, a few times over the course of the day, just to remind yourself, I was created, and there is a creator. It gives a new direction, a new purpose to everything else that you're doing. Even before you get to the point where it's, what he's talking about, that it's something which you've internalized so much so to the point that it's natural and that you really feel it, and it's that deep sense that you have. Even before that, it impacts everything that you're doing, because it's a very different perspective to walk around over the course of the day with the reminder of what it said in Shulchan Aruch, "Shavisi Hashem Negdi Samid," of that I'm in the presence of Hashem. And before you're going to potentially, you know, get into a situation in which you'll get annoyed at somebody or frustrated or whatever it is, the way we deal with the frustrations and other things that we have in life, if we've paused throughout the day and realized, okay, I've been created, there is a creator, he runs the show, I'm here, if he put me here, I'm here for a purpose, it's very different to you know, walk almost hand in hand with him throughout the day than to, you know, check in occasionally during mitzvah performance. Yeah.
I was just thinking, I think that this is probably a lot easier prior internet, prior, you know,
for sure. There are less distractions.
And you're being more with yourself and with your thoughts.
Right. It's definitely easier. Again, I don't know that it was necessarily done more, because you have to be cognizant of the fact that it's important. But the number of distractions that we have that encroach on our ability to think, you know, seriously and alone about anything is significant. If somebody, I heard somebody give the mashal and compare it to, you know, when you study, you know, while watching TV. If you remember the studying days. Right, so, you know, you get through, you know, the 20, 30 pages, whatever it is, and then you look back afterwards, and you sort of know it. But as much as you thought that you were, you know, studying, you're familiar with the ideas, you don't have it. If afterwards you sit down for a half an hour, instead of the 3 hours while watching, you can hammer it home in a half an hour of intense concentration. Because whenever you're multitasking and you're trying to do other things, your mind, again, doesn't mean that we can't multitask, and there are times that it's worth multitasking, because we don't always need to have our mind 100% on every task that we're doing. Usually they'll be done better. But again, there are certain things that only require half of a brain being present or whatever it is. But when you're going to deal with things that are of significance, and that you're really trying to be kun, and you're really trying to acquire them, so it requires that concentration. So to pause a few times, and just with the thought of, you know, I am a creation, there is a creator, that just those few words and thinking about it over the course of the day, again, he's saying it with confidence. I've heard it from other people with confidence also, will impact your day. And in the long term, it will impact this goal of trying to feel that closeness to Hashem. Now, the problem is that usually we tire of things that we don't get, you know, instant results. So, you know, it's not working after, you know, 3 days, so it wasn't worth it. He says it's going to take, he says months. He says months, and he doesn't even think you should move on. Well, I'm not as patient as that already. I'm not going to not move on. But I think it's something, I think it's worth a try. I think it's something we should try to be cognizant of and try to figure out times. We don't have to even tell anybody else we're talking to ourselves. It's but spending the time and making sure that it's clear that we really understand that I am a creation and there is a creator, I think we'll leave this indelible imprint. Okay. So now he writes like this in the next section. Whatever this point is that we're trying to clarify, because again, he's going to say that once you're building up and you do feel like you've acquired it, so you should move on to the next step. So whatever it is, the point that you're trying to acquire, for instance, this point that there is a creator of the world, you have to think about it all day. Achas l'chatzi shah, said once every half an hour is his suggestion. Ya'atzor l'mispar shnios, pause for a few seconds. V'yomer le'atzmo, and say to yourself, Ani nivra, I am a creation. V'yishkan mishu shebara osi, and there is somebody who created me. Ani nivra v'yishkan mishu shebara osi. Lo yosim, he said, doesn't require more than that. You know, one sentence he has repeated twice, right? I am a creation, and there is a creator. Says you stop every half an hour over the day. So first of all, just the very fact that you're cognizant of even stopping is going to have an impact, because then your avodas Hashem is something that is accompanying you when you're, you know, at the gym, at the supermarket, at work, wherever it may be. Even again, when you're not in the inherently spiritual pursuits, thinking for just a few seconds of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will leave its impact. Throughout the day, you pause and say, I am a creation, there is a creator who made me. What's the goal? Why do you have to say it so many times? Because then it becomes the central point around which your day revolves. It doesn't mean you can't do everything else that you're doing already. But it means that whatever you're doing, you're going to come back to one central theme. And then the central theme of your life becomes that there's a God. That Hashem put me here for a purpose. And he says, your mind will naturally train itself that this will be something that you'll think about without having to actively try to pause. The same way, anything else that you're used to, you know, you don't think about when you're driving, you know, every time you're moving the steering wheel and turning on the blinkers, you know, I don't know which way is down and which way is up, but you know, you just do it. You know, you have to make a turn and you flip the thing. There are certain things that because you've thought about them so many times, it becomes part of the way you think. That's how they become foundational. Don't try to jump. If you spend a half hour, you know, three times a day, you know, meditating at this, you're going to potentially just drive yourself crazy and become frustrated. It has to be the balanced approach. But a few seconds throughout the day gives you a point to come back to and a new focus to the way we're trying. Besides just the clarity itself, so there's one idea, right? Step one is to make sure that you spend a little bit of time, and that might take a few minutes, in the room thinking and making sure that you come to clarity about this point. Then, I guess the recharge of that is throughout the day, not to stop the same way. You're not going to have those moments of complete, you know, silence and tranquility. Maybe you will, but most people won't. I know I won't. You know, of perfect calm multiple times throughout the day. But if you took one time to think about it in a way where you process the information for, you know, 2-3 minutes, that, you know, I was created, there is a creator, and, you know, he put me here, and there is a Borei Olam. And then you sort of recharge that by throughout the day, just think, remembering, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me, I'm a creation. Right? The mind becomes used to thinking along these lines. Should not just be something else that we know. We know it and that's it. It has to be something which is alive. It's a live thought that you're thinking about. Right? Because there are two different levels at which things are alive for us. One is that when you're reminded of it, when it's awakened in your mind, so it comes back alive. But the rest of the time, it's sleeping. But there's a person who's awake. But it's constantly there. It doesn't overwhelm everything else that we're thinking, but it's always there in the back of our minds. And he says, this is really a tool that can be used in other contexts in terms of approaching Avodas Hashem. So anything that you want to internalize. And again, this is the one thing that we're working on, but maybe individual people have other things that they want to work on. What's the key to internalizing something, to really be able to feel it? If you spend, he says, even an hour thinking about it. Let's say a person, you know, wants to really internalize, you know, about, you know, being patient and not getting frustrated with others. You could spend an hour, you know, thinking about understanding how important it is and the bad midos and everything else. And you don't think about it throughout the day. He says your hour was a waste of time. It was not maximizing the time. Because that hour is that hour. It doesn't spread out and impact what you're doing throughout the day. It says the way to internalize something is spend less time at the beginning, but come back to it. If you keep coming back to a thought and remind yourself, no matter what, I'm not going to raise my voice today. That's if you say that in the morning and then pound that in and then go about your day, it's likely it's not going to work. But if throughout the day when you're not in a situation in which it may come up, but you're putting yourself in the mindset, okay, I'm working today, I'm not going to raise my voice, then you're already predisposed before whatever else is going to come your way within your activities of the day. You're already predisposed to the thought, and will have a greater impact. Right, im lo noeg im kachar yadu mashal shel maron agon chaim shlomo. Chaim shlomo has a famous mashal. So he writes again, the mashkiach in Keren Biavne used to tell this to us all the time. He used to say that if you take a kettle of water and you put it on the fire and you put it on for a minute and you take it off for a minute, it's never going to boil. Right? He used to tell us a few million minutes. Even you know, it doesn't matter how long you take it off, it's never going to. But if you leave it on for a few minutes straight, so then it's going to boil. So he says, if you want momentary, boiling, so then the way to do that is by thinking very intensely and spending a lot of time on it. But then the boil goes away. Because sometimes what we need is not the boiling, but we need the constant warmth. Sometimes what we want is that it's not going to boil, but that you'll put it back on for a little bit and you'll keep it at the temperature that you want. Right? You don't. If you're, you have like a soup or something, you don't want it to burn, so you have to make sure to adjust the, you don't want it to get too hot. So he says there are different times. There are times when you want to, be passionate and arouse that passion. And he goes, the way to do that is by putting the kettle on the fire. And for that, spending a lot of time thinking about something will, get you driven. But then when you stop focusing on it, it's going to fall away. But the kettle that you put on, it will maintain its warmth even though it won't get to a boil. And sometimes the way to internalize something is not by trying to, it's not always, the fire and brimstone that brings change. Especially nowadays, it's often not the fire and brimstone. People shy away from that. They don't, they like to come to things on their own. So here also, if you can do it in a, a tamer way, is the right way, is we avoid the pitfalls of forgetting. Because that's really what tends to hold us back, is that whatever we did in the morning, we forget it as the day goes on. So again, that's, I think, the takeaway. And again, I don't know, hopefully people will be up to trying it. It's worth giving it a shot. Again, the takeaway is that if we want to try to internalize emunah, we have to take the path of Avram Avinu. And it's, again, even though in our minds there's no doubts, and there shouldn't be any doubts, and we're not trying to create any doubts, but it's different if we have on our own can answer the question to ourselves of, how did I get here? What am I doing here? Who put me here? And the answer is Hashem. If we can come to that on our own, it's a different type of emunah than just simply knowing that our parents or grandparents told it to us. Because the way to do that is by finding quiet time, just a few minutes, even a minute or two, and asking ourselves the question, being able to answer them. Because if we can't answer questions, then we haven't internalized it. Once we come to the clarity of appreciating, yes, I am a creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me here, then it says the way to try and make sure that becomes something which is part of how we view ourselves constantly is this, what he says is really a mahalach, is an approach to internalizing anything in Avodas Hashem, which is more than spending a lot of time on something, is coming back to it. Spending a few seconds throughout the day, even when it's not quiet, and then, maybe you don't have to say it, even just thinking it, but in a clear way of thinking, I was created, there is a creator, gives us a different mindset. And if we come to that throughout the day, again, he's confident, and I guess we'll see. Maybe we should have a show and tell. We got people report back on their successes. Again, it takes time, but I don't know. Be'ezras Hashem, I think if we can keep that that perspective, then hopefully we can put ourselves on this way of really internalizing the Emunah. That'd be something that we feel throughout the day, and I do believe it will leave its impact on how we live our lives and everything that we're doing, not just in terms of the spirituality.
Can we say that we do that in other ways, so to speak, that each of us, if we remember to say brachos at various times, because we said, wait a minute, we have someone to
100%.
Thank, you know, each time
100%.
Really,
if we can, yeah.
We may not say those words.
Correct.
But
if we can use the things that we're doing, the problem is the things that we are already doing usually are by rote.
Even when we say Baruch Hashem, you know, when we say light letters, text, whatever, you know, you hesitate not to say that when something is happening in your life and these
right.
ways of...
Right. I find it interesting, actually. I think I've spoken about it before, and I find that Jews tend to be more hesitant about invoking, thanking God than non-Jews.
I make sure to.
Not nobody
I'm
in particular, but
do
I don't think, you know, athletes for sure, and even people in their thinking, you know, a speech automatically includes things for God. I feel like Jews tend to shy away from it more.
Really?
I don't know.
In the political atmosphere, that's why also, I'm sure.
It could be. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. Anecdotally, that's what I found. And then for other people, it becomes just, you know, it becomes a greeting, you know, instead of, you know, everything's fine, it's Baruch Hashem, which is fine, but if it you know, becomes another thing that we say, then it loses that. But again, if it's something which comes from appreciation, then yeah, then it could also keep it going throughout the 100%. Okay, have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you very much.